Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect. All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually. Oh, yeah.
And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
It's time for the Almost Famous podcast. Yes, we're back, doubling up this week. Got my wonderful co-host, Ashley Iaconetti, and another co-host for two episodes. Ashley, how pumped are you to have Jessica Gerard on the show right now, breaking this all down with us?
I am so excited to have you here, Jess, because one, you are at Woman Tell All, so you can give us all the inside deets. And two, you know, you're bringing back body glitter. And three, you were like the hero character of the show a couple weeks ago when you were like, I am not going to beg for you.
Yes. Oh, thanks, guys. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Are you nervous that Ashley and I are just going to absolutely be so tough and so mean and so just grueling on the show?
We're so hard.
I went through a whole season of The Bachelor, so I think I can take you guys too. So
we're big fans of you. In fact, when we found out that you're going to be on the show with us, we were very excited and we asked to have you help us break down the Women Tell All. And then you're going to come back for a separate show and kind of give us an in-depth about you and your life. And so right now we're going to jump right into the Women Tell All. We're going to skip all the backstory of who you are and what you're about. And we're going to save that for a special time. So Jess, you were at the Women Tell All to start this out, to give our listeners a little perspective. Tell us what the Women Tell All is like the leading up to it, not being on the show, not being in the seats that obviously your butt is going to get so sweaty because they're plastic and there's light shining on you and there's no breathable room.
So uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
We were very uncomfortable.
Yes, your butt bone is truly aching after those 4 or 5 hours.
I remember I had a, when I was the Bachelor, when I was announced or something as the Bachelor, I had to get up from my seat and step up onto stage. And I remember being so nervous because I could tell that like where I was sitting was just covered in sweat. And I was thinking I was going to be the guy to walk up on stage with a different colored, you know, back spot than my suit. Okay. Yeah. So Jess, walk us through like the trailer and the lead up and everything going on.
Yeah. So it was a really rainy day that day. And I remember I kept repeating it. I was like, is this foreshadowing something? Like, is this going to be a very chaotic day? It was pouring rain. I think that there was like a really bad storm in California or something, but that weekend, but it was so surreal. I've never been in like a fitting room or like, I don't know what it's kind of technically called.
Dressing room?
Yeah, dressing room. Yeah. I've never been in a dressing room before like that. I've never, you know, had my makeup touched up and, you know, gotten all pampered. So it was definitely like, I was getting really nervous. I was like, oh gosh, this is like the real deal. And like going into the Warner Brothers studio, I was like, I've never been there before. I don't know anything about it. I just was cool. I was like, what's been filmed here? Like, I want to go explore all of these buildings. But, and it was really cool seeing everyone. And everyone was excited and nervous. We were all kind of on the same page and we knew we were going to see Zach. And at that point I knew I was going to get a hot seat. So I was like freaking out. It was just so many nerves and all in one and in a very rainy day. So I was like, oh gosh, I didn't want my hair to get messed up.
Well, you didn't have much to worry about when it came to talking with the girls. So you probably really got to sit back and just listen for a couple hours before Zach got on stage. You had no drama with the girls. You barely on air, you didn't really involve yourself except for with the little drama between Brooklyn and Kat. You seemed to defend Kat a little bit in that moment.
Yeah.
Did that feel good that you got to not have to involve yourself in girl drama?
Yeah. So I feel like in general, I don't really involve myself with drama, like in the real world too, as well. I will always defend myself if I feel like I'm in a position where I need to, or someone else. At the time, you know, with Brooklyn and Kat, I felt like that was between them and it wasn't really my place to get involved. But there were points where I defended her because Kat is a good person and she meant well. And, you know, she was owning up to her mistakes and I felt like it was being dragged out. But, you know, I don't think that it's my position to voice an opinion that it's something that I'm not involved in. So it was nice to sit back and not be involved when everyone was like screaming at each other. I think there was like some clips of my face where I'm just like, oh gosh, like everyone's in my ear.
Yeah. Ashley and I always say this because one of the questions you'll get asked the most now for the next, who knows how long of your life will be. Is it real? Like, is the show real? And what Ashley and I always say is it is very real. Like, I've never felt like I was told or scripted or given a list of things what to do. And there's a very few moments where you're watching things happen in the mansion or on the road or at a tell-all. And you're like, I cannot believe I'm getting a front row seat at this because nobody that ever watches this will ever believe it.
Yeah. No, definitely. When I was sitting there and when everyone was kind of like voicing their opinions, rightfully so, I was like, wow, this is just as intense as it is on TV as it is in person. And it was crazy. But I feel like everyone, when you're in that position, you want your voice to be heard and you feel like, you know, you don't want it to be overshadowed. So everyone's kind of pitching in. And so it was very chaotic and entertaining to watch. And it was even more entertaining to watch on TV because I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot that was said and that was said, and I was like laughing at all of it. It was kind of funny and crazy. But
It's wild.
Well, let's go down the list of big moments, big dramatic moments between the girls. So first up, well, there's the Anastasia thing. Yeah, let's go with Anastasia. So Anastasia and Kylie and that drama. Do you feel like Anastasia was getting, like, for lack of a better word, like, pounded on stage? Or do you feel like, you know, there was, like, a side that wasn't being told?
Yeah, so with Anastasia, she had two different points that were being addressed to her. The microaggression, which I feel like that was handled very well. That needed to be said, and that mm-hmm. we all needed to be educated on that. So, and I feel like she handled that well, and she apologized and owned up to it. And then the other side was the following and being there for the wrong reasons. And, you know, even though I say out of drama, I do believe that everyone should be voicing their opinions. And do I believe that it should be in a respectful way always? That I try, but it may not always come across that way. I think for the most part, everyone was able to vocalize what they needed to say. I don't really know how I feel about her having a boyfriend. I don't think that that's true personally from what I from what I know from her. I think she's a great girl. I don't think she would risk losing a job and all of that if she had someone waiting for her at home. And I think she's still single. So if she had a boyfriend, I don't think she's dating him now. But so I don't know. I don't really think that that part's true, but I think she handled herself well, and I respect her for that, because that's a really tough position to be in when you're getting accused of this and you can't really defend yourself without any proof.
Yeah. I mean, you can't. It's been a storyline now for a few seasons where somebody comes into it with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and it feels like, hey, if you did that, no, probably not smart, but I could see that you'd be dating up to the show and exploring your options. We've said that I think that's fine, but you can't prove really if you're wrong or right, or if you're doing it or not. You know, we're getting into the drama a little bit, and I think your insight is going to be so valuable to help us get perspective. Two questions for you. One, just to give us some idea, did you have your own dressing room before Women Tell All, or are you with the group of women in one dressing room hearing all of the chatter before the show?
I was in a dressing room with one of my really good friends, Jen. She's known as Genevieve on the show. I call her Jen. But we were just hanging out, hyping each other up, like, you know, just catching up. I haven't seen her in a while. So I was helping her just like discuss. I knew she was going to, you know, educate us on microaggression. So we were kind of talking about that topic. And, you know, I was asking questions, learning more about it and, you know, understanding it better. And so we had really good, meaningful conversations. We weren't really gossiping about the girls or anything. And like, because a lot of the drama that happened, I don't know if it's pre-planned or not. I think everyone was just kind of vocalizing it as they went. So, you know, we didn't get to foreshadow any of that. So
that's interesting. Yeah. So, you know, the drama isn't exactly where a producer comes in and says, here are the conversations I want you to bring up, and I know you're going to bring them up. It just happens because people want their moment. They're angry or they're upset, and they voice them on a stage, and then we see how it plays out. And that's what makes Women Tell All beautiful and also sometimes very awkward. Speaking of awkward, Ashley, I want to know if you had a feeling about this. And Jess, I want to hear yours as well. This is the first time I can remember ever, you know, on the Bachelor franchise, a franchise that holds themselves to a very high standard. And I think this season especially feels like a throwback. It feels like, you know, a really good season of not a ton of drama, a lot of character development, a lot of tough breakups. It feels like maybe of a season 6 years ago. But this was the first time I've ever heard the show introduced next week as Sex Week.
I'm pretty sure that that's because Zach like coined it himself, right? He said something along the lines of, I know this is Fantasy Suites Week, which is basically Sex Week, but I don't want to participate in that.
Yeah.
So the show's...
That's what I gathered too.
Okay, so it doesn't feel weird to you two that it's called Sex Week now. It's not Fantasy Suites.
No, it's not. They Jesse made a point of saying, like, Zach coined it as Sex Week. Okay. So it's only going to be called that this season as a sort of joke.
Okay, good. I didn't want to keep going. I maybe missed Jesse.
Could you imagine?
I don't think it should keep going.
I thought it got weird there for a second, but okay, that's it. Ashley, back to the girl drama.
Okay, so the other like sort of villainous person we had this year was Christina. Tell us the scoop on Christina in the house. We know that she got kind of a bad rap because she kept talking about her time with Zach, you know, like, and people are like, we don't really want to hear about your time with Zach. He's even really self-centered about this. Was that who she was, or was there more to her? Do you think that she got eliminated too early?
Yeah. So Christina is one of the women in the house that I actually didn't spend that much time with. It kind of how it worked out. Like, she got that one-on-one right away. And then I had a group date, and then we had the football day and her team won. So then she had the after party. So I didn't really get to spend that much time with her. From what I gathered, like, you know, I think she really does mean well. I think she just was unaware of, you know, maybe some comments that she made in the house that maybe made people uncomfortable. I personally was never in a conversation with her long enough to where I could point those things out. I think she's kind, and I don't think that she intended to go into this butting heads with anyone. And I think that's very obvious with how she kept trying to apologize and speak on her part. But I just, from what I heard from the other women, she did make them uncomfortable, and she did put them in positions where they, you know, wanted to remove themselves from, which is unfortunate. But thankfully, like, I never got to experience it. So it's just kind of hearsay from what I got.
Can you elaborate on how she made them feel uncomfortable?
Yeah, so I know with the situation when Charity got her group date rose, and Christina, you know, kind of took her moment from her and was, you know, confused on why and, you know, all of that. And it really upset Charity, and rightfully so. I think if I got that group date rose and someone said they were confused why they didn't get it, I would be like, what? So it's just situations like that. I think she was free to open to freely talk about it, but it's a time and place when you can, and like, those are the moments that like aren't yours to take.
Makes sense. So I'm curious, because you've said it a few times now, you stayed out of a lot of this. Like, it's hearsay to you, right? You're not seeing this, you're not a part of it, but you're around a while. So you're obviously there for a lot of these experiences. How did you stay out of it? Like, what was it just luck? Was it kind of your personality? What'd you do?
Yeah. So pretty much my whole life, I've always been in positions where, you know, in college or in high school as a youth group leader, or in college as a new member educator with inclusion and stuff. Like, I've just always been able to understand people's perspectives on situations. And, you know, there was a part like in the Bahamas where I tried to speak up about the Kylie and Anastasia situation, and I was told that it's not my place to. So I think then moving on, like, I just kind of realized it's not, if it's
who
not.
Who told you that?
Am I allowed? People. I don't know if I'm allowed to say and not
People
say.
People told you that you weren't allowed to get involved in that drama.
Yeah, so they're either having her best interest or they're not. You hear it, you either do it or you don't.
It's one of those, which I understand, it's not my place to speak on. So it was just one of those things where I, like, if I wasn't passionate on something, I wasn't going to voice my opinion. But I guess it's luck. When the whole thing with Kat in Brooklyn happened, I did speak with her privately about it and explained to her how it was wrong. And, you know, we were roommates, so that's how I was able to do that, because we were together in a room, or else that would have been filmed and aired. But we were, so it's just, I guess it's luck in those situations.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand, and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that, so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about using your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call
1-800-DISCOVER to get the service that you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Well, that brings up, I feel like, my third and final like point of intense girl drama, which, and when I say intense, you guys probably had the least amount of drama that we've seen in a lot of seasons. Yeah. Which was nice for us, I think, as an audience, at least in my perspective, and probably for you as a cast as well. But yeah, I want to get into Kat and Brooklyn a little bit, because Brooklyn doesn't seem over it, and it didn't even happen to Brooklyn, it happened to Charity. Charity was the one who, you know, had to go on a date after a guy already kissed Kat. And Charity, yeah, she was just like, all right, I mean, that's not the nicest thing, but also moving on. And Brooklyn just, like Kat said, just days later kept bringing it up. Why do you think Brooklyn had such a thing after Kat? Back a couple weeks ago, my theory was that she was just very intimidated by her, as I felt like she was the obvious front runner there. We were very wrong.
Mm-hmm. You know, in that moment, a lot of the women, including myself, were very confused why Kat did that. You know, we are dating the same man, so, you know, you have the right to speak to him, but again, time and place. So all of us were confused. I remember when Kat walked away, all the women looked at me and they were like, because me and Kat are close, and they were like, well, why is she doing that? And I was like, I have no idea. Like, mm-hmm. She didn't run that by me. So we were all confused. And because I think Brooklyn, you know, has a voice and she's not afraid to use it, and that's one of her really, really good friends, I think she wanted to be able to speak for Charity when Charity wasn't present because she went on her date. And maybe Kat's response wasn't fitting what Brooklyn needed. And so Brooklyn kind of kept it going. You know, I think Kat she did, I know Kat apologized and she was doing her best. I don't really know why the drama continued. It started off where we all agreed that like it was the wrong thing to do, but did it need to be continued into a multiple day conversation? Probably not.
Yeah. And really, we didn't solve anything there on the Women Tell All stage. Jesse used that as a lead in to solving these problems further in Bachelor in Paradise. How much did you hear the word paradise be thrown around at Women Tell All? Amongst the girls, amongst the producers, because a lot of the times we feel like Women Tell All is kind of an audition tape for your spot in paradise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard it here and there, but I don't really know how to answer that question, I'm going to be honest. Paradise was thrown around a lot. I don't know if some of the women's intentions were to, get a spot on Paradise or not. I didn't really put that much thought into it, but for the most part, the drama that did happen on the show, there was never a resolution to it. And so I think a lot of the women, regardless of Paradise or not, they went into it wanting to get that resolution. And we may not have seen a resolution really, but I think, that's something that they can work towards on Paradise or off camera, whereas we're all friends and really close. So,
Jess, I have to pause here for a second. Because we get to interview a lot of people coming off the show. And everybody's great when you get to meet them. You seem to have a very level head on your shoulders, which oftentimes, from a viewer's point of view, goes, she's too good for this show, or she's too good for this experience. And right now, as you're answering these questions and talking through, situations that you weren't involved in, you're doing it in a really graceful and kind way. Which makes me go, yeah, she is. She's probably too good for this show, but the show needs people like Jess to come onto it because they are great people to have be ambassadors for the show. So if Paradise came to you and said, hey, Jess, this might not be your cup of tea. This might make you feel weird. It's going to be a whole new environment, but we want you to try Paradise right now. What would you say?
Yes. So I knew going into this, I think one of my biggest fears when I said yes to The Bachelor and was, running towards it was, are these women going to be nice to me? Like, can I handle that? And, thankfully we got a season that everyone for the most part was kind and respectful to each other. And I am someone that if the opportunity is given to me, that means I'm ready for it. And I would definitely do Paradise if there was someone that I was interested in. I'm a hopeless romantic and, I'm looking for love and I'm looking for that opportunity. Yes, I'm not someone that brings drama to the table, but that doesn't mean you're not qualified or good enough to find love. There are so many great personalities that, everyone brings something different to the table. And, whereas I might not be the loudest in the room, that doesn't mean I'm not a good friend. And that doesn't mean I'm not a good partner. And that doesn't mean that I'm not capable of being just as deserving to be there. So I don't think anyone is too good for the show because I think that takes away from the other women. I think it's more so that it's just a different personality.
If Jess isn't on Paradise, Ashley, I'm rioting.
I know.
I'm rioting. I'm not happy if I don't get to watch Jess in Paradise and just be her biggest fan.
I have a fire side of me. Like, you guys saw that with Zach. Like, when I was crying and I, kind of had a little laugh in there, my best guy friend texted me and was like, that's the laugh that I know you're about to, go off and you're, holding it. I have... that side in me, a very passionate and fiery side. I'm not going to bring it out if it's not organic. And there was never a moment, I'm not going to force them. I want to watch the screen and be like, I recognize that person. I don't want to be confused. So,
well, that's a perfect segue then into your hot seat. To get us started on the hot seat, Jess, give us perspective. You look back now on your time with Zach and your time on the show and you're fresh off of the Women Tell All. What did you feel for Zach? What did you think was there? Now with hindsight, now you may be different during the experience, but now with hindsight, what did you feel towards him?
Like when I saw him walk out or?
Just looking both. Back on your time kind of on the like, show, yeah. was it as real as you thought it was?
Yeah. So, you know, I really did have, I like worded a lot on the show, but it was the way I described my feelings for Zach was I had a really big crush on him. And that's pretty much the, as far as we took it. And watching it, you know, I felt very validated in what I was feeling because, I mean, I was seeing myself fall for him and that's what I felt and that's what I remembered. So it definitely was like a refresher. I think there was a part where like in the Bahamas, he said like, just be strong and like hold out, like pretty much not verbatim, but it's kind of what he meant. And like, it just was like validating to know like, yeah, what I felt was real and it was reciprocated. And, you know, although the exit wasn't, it felt very one-sided, like looking back, like I wasn't alone in the relationship that we had. So watching it, it definitely brought those emotions of like validation, but also just like, oh, that sucks. Like didn't work out, but like, I think he's great. And there was never any hard feelings and, you know, I wished him the best, but it was definitely hard to watch it and be like, yeah, like I did feel that. And, you know, it was real.
There had to have been a little hard feelings after you left so abruptly after this argument where like you guys just didn't see eye to eye at all. And as an audience, and I think you feel the audience response, we were all like, Zach, how can you not see why she's upset? It's very obvious. And as somebody who's on the show, Ben and I talked about this, you know, during that episode that you left, we're like, it really does take a one-on-one for you to feel comfortable in opening up. Because if you start a serious conversation, like with 10, 15 minutes of one-on-one time on a group date, it just doesn't feel appropriate. Yeah. So was there more to the conversation that we didn't see on TV?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The conversation, so it kind of centered around my nerves with him and me not being comfortable. And that was why my argument was I just needed time. And I addressed this literally night one, sitting with him on the steps in front of the mansions. I was like, I get nervous around men that I like. It's something I'm not like, I learned to love about myself and I'm like, I can't help it, but this is who I am. And, you know, I get a little shaky and this is how I am. And he thought it was cute. And he was just like, that's so endearing. And so I never felt like there was a reason to worry about it and like change who I was, because I thought he accepted it and it was okay. And, you know, all the women, like we get close, they knew about it and they comforted me about it. And they were like, that's what makes you Jess. Like you have nothing to worry about. So I was like, oh, okay. And then going into Estonia, I was like, something is off. Like, I don't like, he's giving me all this reassurance, but there's no actions following the words that he's giving me. So like, what could be the reason? In the back of my mind, it was like, is it my nerves? Is it my, like, is he seeing that as a red flag? But also, he's never mentioned that as a red flag to me before. So that would be very dishonest of him if he were to bring that up now. So that's why I was confused. And I think that's why the conversation, like we were butting heads, because I was like, if this was a problem, why, like, I'm confused. Like that's, you know, you thought that was endearing and you liked that about me up until this point. And like, if he had told me that sooner, what could have happened? And if you knew that I'm nervous and I, you know, take a second, why wouldn't you give me that time for me to get comfortable? So it just was like, I'm confused. There's a solution to this here. I don't understand what's the confusion. So
yeah. And when you looked back, or even when you're not looking back, even when you're sitting in the back of like the dump vehicle, did you wonder, if I didn't bring that up tonight, would I still be there?
Oh, of course I wondered that, because so in the moment when I got sent home, like in reality, not watching it back, when I came home, I was so confused, like explaining it to my family. I was like, I don't understand. And when I watched it back, I was like, I think my biggest takeaway was he was that upset. Like there was no emotion when I was talking to him. I thought I was in the wrong for a while, until the show aired and I saw his reaction and I got to actually watch like how he was speaking to me and his facial expressions, I was like, maybe I wasn't in the wrong. And so it took me a while to kind of process the situation, because when you don't watch it back and you're relying on your memory in a situation where you were already anxious and nervous and feeling all these things, you don't really remember clearly. And so on the hot seat when I was watching it, and that's why I was like more smiling than crying, because I was like, I was just proud of myself because I didn't remember half of that.
And you should be proud of yourself. You handled yourself so nicely in that scene.
Thank you.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about using your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call
1-800-DISCOVER to get the service that you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
I saw a meme last night. It was awesome. It made me laugh. Oh. It said, it had a picture of you standing there talking to Zach, and it said, I forget the start of it, but pretty much the point was, how in the world would this girl expect to get a date on a dating show?
Like, oh, I saw that.
Yeah, like, why in the world would she think that a date should be given to her on a dating show? I thought it was so good. Like, yes, of course you wanted a date. It brings up the point, we've said it all season, and I know you listen to our podcast every week, so you've probably heard it. We said, I don't think Zach's a bad dude. I don't think he's a bad bachelor. I think he's there for the right reasons. And I think he really wants to find love. I think the only critique, which is, again, very minimal compared to most seasons that we watch, we critique pretty heavily, is that it felt like he just wasn't hearing some of the messages and words that the women were communicating. And maybe the response, and I want you to respond to this, Jess, would be that he already knew that he was going to send these people home before they voiced their concerns. Like, maybe before it even went into it and they voiced their insecurities, he just had bad luck. And as soon as they opened their hearts up to him, he had already decided they were going home. And so it just played out terribly on television for him. Or he really was not hearing what you were saying. And you know, when you watched, when we watch your moment back, what I was hearing was, this girl just wants to spend more time with you. She really likes you. She's interested in you. She just wants to get to know you better. And she's like almost complimenting you by saying, I just want to be around you more, which is a great compliment. So Jess, knowing the concern or the critique that people are giving Zach, knowing that you're in that situation, one of the examples of that, what would you say?
You know, honestly, I think it's a bit of both. I think he, you know, he has a good head on his shoulders. So I think he has an idea if this is his person or not. So regardless of the conversation, if he knows in his heart, he's going to make that decision. However, I think there's a factor in it of, you know, he could have worked on how he listens and how he approaches conversations. You can still send someone home, but do it in a, you know, a caring and compassionate way. But also, it's hard to judge him when in his position. Like, how do you do that when someone is so invested in you? Like, it's a hard position to be in. But you know, I obviously am watching the show and I see how he handles some conversations, and he could have easily done it way better. And I'm sure he's watching it and thinking the same thing. But you know, I think because he has that good head on his shoulders, he knows, okay, I don't like this, like, or not, I don't like, but this girl may not be my wife, my fiance. So I'm going to send her home. This is awkward that she's kind of venting to me about her life, but kind of got to do it. So, yeah.
Sometimes in those conversations, I feel like he's lacking sensitivity. Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
Yes. I mean, I'm speaking on my position. I think, you know, he even brought that up at Women Tell All, that he wasn't understanding my point. And I think it could have been such an easy solution. There was a point where I was like, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Like, can you hear what I'm saying? And all he had to do was, like, maybe I wasn't articulating what I was saying the best way. I could have stopped saying one-on-one. Probably, yeah. But I mean, you know, he could have also been like, well, what do you mean by that? Let's figure it out. Let's come to an understanding. And he wasn't. He kind of just in his head figured out, or kind of came up with an idea of what I'm trying to say and then stuck with it instead of trying to dig deeper and to understand. So speaking for myself, I think he could have been more sensitive. And I feel like his apology kind of sounds like he would agree to that as well.
Well, let's jump in to the other couple of hot seats that existed. Some of them celebratory, Charity, right? Some of them a little tougher, like Greer. You know, Greer's situation is interesting to me, Ashley, as a more of a curiosity. I don't think there's anything wrong, obviously, with Greer approaching something that she did on social media, you know? She defended a blackface post. That was really, you know, probably why she was in the hot seat. It was most of the conversation. I'm intrigued at how this happened though for her, and not happening with Eric from last season, who was Gabby's choice at the end.
Well, I think it's obvious what happened here.
I want to hear your opinion.
I think they got a lot of flack for not addressing it with Eric. When I was watching the scene with Greer, it had me wondering, like, trying to rack my brain on whether or not they brought it up at all.
Yeah.
So I can't say that they did or did not, but I know that if they even did, it was a small little blip on the radar.
Yeah.
So I think that that's why Jesse said, like, we're not really good at addressing things like this on the show. So we want to really make a point to do so right now.
Okay. So you think it was a response, like learning from mistakes previously. It was a response to get better this time. That's fair. That's great. Yeah, I appreciate that insight. Mm-hmm. So Jess, you were in the room. You know Greer a lot better than we do because we've never met her. What's your take on the situation? What's your take on the response from the other women and from maybe even Greer personally, if mm-hmm. you're able to be around her?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a very tough conversation to have, and it's even tougher for someone to grow from it and be able to speak on it. So I'm like, props to her for being able to, you know, admit to her wrongs and speak on that. And I think a lot of the women, you know, were really proud because, you know, I know that she, when it happened, when it came out, she wanted to address it. And I think she made like an Instagram story or something about it, which, you know, she did that on her own. And I respect that a lot because I think a lot of times in this franchise and just in general, people don't like to admit when they're in the wrong and mm-hmm. Don't want to have those uncomfortable conversations that bring a lot of controversy. And for her to kind of want to right her wrongs is very highly respectful, and it was the right thing to do. I'm really glad she got to address it. I'm really glad that this franchise addressed that they're not good at addressing this. And I think that speaks volume, and I'm hoping that we can continue going towards that direction of correcting each other and holding accountability for us. But I thought Greer, you know, spoke her truth and did her best, and she is a great person at heart, and you know, I know that that took a toll on her, and so I respect her for being able to go up there because that's nerve-wracking, and everything she was saying was coming from the heart to my understanding. So
that's very well put. That's really well put, and just you know, a genuine response. And I'm glad that you and Ashley both point that out, that the show acknowledged that they aren't good at this and that they wanted to approach it. And so I think with that, I say, well done. Well, mm-hmm. Kat sat in the hot seat. Not a lot there to discuss in depth. It felt like it was kind of just a cyclical conversation that had existed already on the show. And there wasn't, you know, the beauty of that is that Kat now has a better relationship with her mom, which is huge. So let's jump into Charity. Charity, obviously, a fan favorite, somebody just recently gone home, somebody that's still close to the viewer's heart, somebody to also celebrate. Jess, tell us about Charity. What do you know and see in Charity?
Charity is just a ball of sunshine. She truly, like, what is so great about her is she is just as kind and generous as you see on the show as she is in person. I remember in London, you know, she was going through her own issues and she still took the time to comfort Greer. And I feel like that says a lot about someone to take away what you're going through to be there for someone. And I just feel like that's in her nature. It's what she does as her job, and it's what she does with her friendships. And I respect her. I think her being the Bachelorette is a phenomenal choice. I sent over a devotional book for her to take on her journey.
Awesome.
She is a woman of faith, and I, you know, I'm excited for her. She is so deserving of love, and you know, it was heartbreaking to watch her hometown episode. Me and my mom are both crying on the couch. Her family is so beautiful, and you could just tell, like, with the community that she surrounds herself with, that she just is a very good person. And you know, we need, I mean, we've always had good people as leads, but you know, it's good to continue to have someone that can speak so well, can treat people so well. And, you know, I think she's learned a lot from this season with, you know, how Zach approached things. And I think she's going to be able to take that and be in a phenomenal Bachelorette.
We've had mostly good leads, mostly nice leads. Season 20 had some issues, but for the most part, we've had some incredible people.
Has to self-deprecate.
I can't wait. I can't wait to watch her. I'm so pumped because I do. I think, you know, being somebody of faith, being somebody there for the right reasons, learning from not the multitude of mistakes that Zach made. I don't think there's like a plethora of things that he did wrong yet. I'm worried about what's coming. So
excited for next week.
I don't know. We'll see.
But I think she's just gonna be an incredible bachelorette, and I'm ecstatic. I didn't expect it. Shockingly, like I did not know she would be named the lead, but I'm really glad she did.
I think all four of the top girls really are almost equal in their running. And I think I would have been equally as excited for any of them that were crowned bachelorette. Just do you think that that Charity was really genuinely surprised when she was in that dressing room and they brought the camera and Jesse in?
Oh, 100%. So where I was sitting, it was Charity, Brooklyn, and then me. And Jesse kept repeating, like, we have a surprise for, it's going to change a woman's life. And
yeah.
We were kind of like looking around at each other. I remember looking at Charity because I was like, they would be crazy not to, you know, offer it to her. So I was like, do you know what's going on? Are you about to be bachelorette? And she was like, they didn't tell me anything. I don't know what's going on. And she was like, she literally goes, no way. She's like, there's no way. And I was like, oh, okay. So we had no idea. So we were kind of like trying to figure out what was going on. Like, I think I came up with the idea of like, maybe someone's going to get chosen from the audience and gets to like hang out with Zach. I was like, what is this? Because we all left and, you know, Charity left with us. So I didn't think anything. I went into press right after. So I didn't see that they took her to a different room or anything, but we were all walking towards the exit together. So I was like surprised too, watching it back. And, you know, that was her genuine, humble reaction to it. And, you know, you could tell she was like thinking they were playing a game, you know, and so that was really cool to watch and special.
Aw, okay. Well, we want to talk more to you, but before we wrap up the Women Tell All episode, we got to talk about bloopers. The bloopers were on point. There have been years and years now of disappointing bloopers. These ones really lived up, and it wasn't just the blooper reel at the end. Jesse also showed about three scenes and court, including that like twerking scene. So good. It really showed a lot of personality with the girls. That's the kind of footage that people ask to see, and they really delivered in showing them during Women Tell All. And I know I say it way too often, but if only they peppered some of those scenes throughout
the series,
people would get so much more attached to these characters, really feel like they get to know them better. Like that scene where Zach thought that it was mold, M-O-L-D wine, was amazing.
Oh, I thought it was so funny.
It's mold wine, but it's actually really good.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like a lot of the episodes they did kind of like the credits, they would show like little bloopers and stuff, which I thought was funny. But I agree, like, you know, showing our personalities more so people can kind of like relate to us and kind of, you know, form a special bond with, you know, the contestants and want to continue watching. But those bloopers were hilarious. In the twerking scene, like, you just see me like freaking out, and I like ran to the kitchen because I was like, I cannot be a part of this. Like, I will not. So I was watching them do that and I was dying laughing, and they all did really, really good. I was like, you guys look great.
Yeah,
I know. I started squeezing my butt cheeks back and forth. I was like, can I do this?
Did you try it, Ash?
Tortilla slaps. Yeah, I was on a plane. I was just going back and forth a little bit.
Oh, and like then, in your seat? You're just flexing?
Yeah. I didn't do it up, but maybe later. And then there was the cute like tortilla slapping thing. All of them are very good demonstrations of what we actually do to pass the time when we have no phones, no TVs, and all of that.
It's beautiful.
And then... The tarantula? Yeah. We must talk about this tarantula. Was that in the Bahamas?
No, that was in the mansion. And well, I think I'm wrong. There was some there was some bug that was in the mansion. They didn't play it, but like we were like all freaking out. And I think Mercedes was the one that went and grabbed it. And
you don't grab a tarantula and you don't call it a bug.
It wasn't a tarantula. We kept saying it was like an oversized ant. It was like a really big ant. So I don't know.
They have the beetles, like, the big beetle. I forget what the kind of beetle, like the like the Florida, the palm beetles or something like that. They're massive. Know. They're all over.
I'm not familiar with California insects, but whatever that was, I'm thankful it's not in Florida because it was so ginormous. Like, ugh, that's not fun.
Yeah.
I don't think they showed that. But.
It's the mansion is is an amazing place. It's beautiful. It's luxurious. It also has doors open all day long with lights on inside. So you can imagine what that looks like by the end of the day. Jess, to close up here, final question for you. Again, we're going to be bringing Jess back for an in-depth episode to get to learn all about Jess, because I have a feeling we're going to be watching more of Jess in the coming years, which we're pumped about. But before we get there, Jess, if you know what happens at the end, just say it. I can't talk about it because I know what happens. If you don't know what happens at the end, what's your theory on what happens? And I'm not giving up the tradition. What happens during Fantasy Suite Week?
I do know what happens.
Perfect. Don't talk about it. All right. We'll be back next time with Jess doing an in-depth episode. Until then, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. And Jess, who've you been?
I've been Jess.
There we go.
See you soon. Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Child-proofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.